Square, 1300 Lafayette Avenue, here just down the street from Scott Trade Center, where everyone was a little disappointed last night.
Where nothing happened, and we're going to pretend there was no hockey game.
It just magically became a 3-1 series lead for the Blues last night. We are joined here at Tim Hortons with Tina Bryant from Tim Hortons. Good morning, Tina.
Good morning.
So good to see you, as we like to say, dark and early here on the radio show.
It certainly is.
So, you know, as we were saying before we were coming back from break, you know, it's a chance people stop in, sample some fine Tim Hortons food, and have some of that great coffee and recharge after kind of a late night last night.
Yes, so, I know, and I was hoping we were going to be celebrating today, but I guess that's even more reason to come and maybe drown our sorrows in some good food.
Exactly.
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit, Tim Hortons, how long has Tim Hortons been here in St. Louis?
We opened our first location in the summer of 2015, so just a couple of years. And in those couple of years, we now have 6 locations. And so we open in Maplewood, and then we also have locations here in Lafayette Square and another one downtown at Tucker and Olive, which is very close to Scott Trade Center.
That one's my home, Tim Hortons, as it were. Yeah.
And we also have one in O'Fallon, Illinois, so the Metro East. And in the Cortex District, which is at Highway 40 and Boyle, and then also a little express cafe in Frontenac at Clayton and Lindbergh.
So, and then also the Scott Trade kiosk there. And you were just saying that that's one of your favorite snacks at the game.
The mid-game Timbit snack, I'm telling you, is a fantastic way to feel super Canadian, but also get a real – excuse me, jeez. They also get a really good snack mid game for sure.
Now I'm sure. So we have the 2-hour hockey extravaganza, as we call it, talking hockey almost exclusively 2 hours a day during the show. So I'm sure most of our listeners are aware that Tim Hortons is a Canadian thing. Mm-hmm. Tim Horton was a player for the Maple Leafs back in the day, and then after his retirement started the chain. How many locations are, I think I saw, was there 900
in
locations?
The U.S.?
900 in the U.S., but there's even more in Canada, right?
Absolutely. So in Canada, there's like 3,500, almost like the McDonald's of the U.S., Tim's is in Canada. But here in the U.S., there's quite a few restaurants as well. However, St. Louis was really the first city to have Tim Hortons kind of out of that Canadian border type of thing. So outside of Detroit and Buffalo and Columbus, Ohio.
Yep.
And so we're very proud of that our hometown here, they felt that we could support Tim Hortons. And so we are very proud to be here in our hometown with the brand.
Now, I think, you know, you're talking about the Timbits, Jeff.
Yes.
We were talking in the first segment about how we had some at our tailgate for the Winter Classic back in January. And they were delicious. So I think some people might assume that there's just donuts and pastries and baked goods.
Oh, there's so much more.
Exactly. Tell us a little bit about that.
There's so much more. And I guess when you actually come into the restaurant, it becomes quite evident. But historically, Tim's was known for coffee and donuts. And we have a wide variety of donuts and Timbits, which are our donut holes. But in addition to that, our baked goods are bagels and croissant and cookies and Danish and those types of things. But above and beyond that, we have really great breakfast, hot breakfast sandwiches and even oatmeals and yogurts. And then we move right on into lunch. And so people need to give us a chance to show them what some good paninis and sandwiches and soups and chili. We have great chili and mac and cheese and all of those things. And so there's a wide variety here at Tim's that I think that many people don't really know, as it's historically been considered the coffee and the donuts. We're very much known for coffee, which
absolutely.
We have great coffee, right? But there's a lot more here.
Plow through one for sure. Yeah. Well, and one of the upsides, I think, to the sort of growing here in the market is that you have the ability to establish that brand in St. Louis, right? And to sort of become, you know, because for St. Louisans who are just learning about the brand, it's a great opportunity to embrace the full scope of the Tim Hortons experience, I think.
The official coffee of the St. Louis Blues.
Yes, indeed.
That's right. We actually were pouring coffee at Scott Trade for the Blues games before we even opened our first restaurant.
Wow.
So
makes sense.
We knew that the hockey connection was very important to us. But, Yeah, it's a great place. And what's interesting is you guys spend the morning here with us is that you're going to see all kinds of people come in. So mm-hmm. it's going to be business people, neighborhood people. It's going to be folks just coming in to read the paper. You might, I know it's a school day, but you might see, you know, parents coming in mm-hmm. with their kids. And especially on weekends, you'll see a lot of families. So it's a good place for a variety of activities.
Well, and as we sit here, as I'm looking out the front door here, is it 55 or 44 or is it
44?
44. Okay, I'm still
yeah,
I'm
both.
Figuring.
Yeah, right
yeah
here,
I was gonna say yeah. right. Yeah, right. So if you're right there at 55 and 44 here at Lafayette, just you know, yank it on over, pull on in, grab coffee, grab food. We'd be more than happy to have you.
So we're here at Tim Hortons in Lafayette Square, 1300 Lafayette Avenue, joined by Tina Bryan with Tim Hortons here in St. Louis. So is there what's your favorite thing on the menu?
Oh, gosh, that's pretty tough. We have really good bagels, very good bagels, and we just introduced some new cream cheese flavors, too. So, and then right now we have some berry products. So we have a great strawberry cream cheese muffin.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
Yeah, that's really good.
I might have to try one of those.
Yeah, yeah. You guys all have to try a little bit of everything. We'll do a taste test.
I mean, if you insist that we must see that we must eat a bread, I think you can tell from looking at both Brad and I from across the table that we're not – We are friends of the baked good.
Listeners, she is twisting my arm. You can't see it over the radio. She is twisting
my arm. She's forcing us to eat all the delicious baked goods here this morning.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's, you know, and we kind of talked over email before we set this up that, you know, hockey and Tim Hortons and the Blues, it just kind of all comes together. It makes sense.
Absolutely. Yes,
well, when I traveled up to Canada earlier this year, kind of went on a short road trip with the team through Toronto and Ottawa and Montreal, it also happened to be roll up the rim time while I was traveling.
Oh, sure, that just ended.
Yeah, I probably hit Tim's like three times a day for 5 days. Not even kidding, three times a day for 5 days because it really, you know, look, I had a pocket full of loonies and toonies. I had to spend them somewhere.
Yeah,
and that was the place to go.
So for those that don't know what that is, roll up the rim is well known within the brand of Tim Hortons. And so when you get a cup of coffee during this time frame of roll up the rim, you literally roll up the rim of your coffee cup, and underneath the rim is potentially all kinds of prizes, from a free donut, a free coffee, all the way to cars and cash and televisions and all of this. So it's a really cool game.
And speaking to my ignorance, I thought that it was exclusively in the Canadian market, so I did it and went through Canada and got it. And then when I got back, I ran through the Tim's at Tucker, and lo and behold,
your cup was a roll-up.
So
we're gaining momentum with that. It takes a little while to educate, you know, here in St. Louis what that is. And they're like, what do you want me to do with this cup? Once you get it, you get it, and people really do enjoy it.
Well, thank you for your hospitality this morning. This
is
great.
Absolutely.
And like we said, we're hoping this would be more of a celebration instead of a, you know, let's take a bigger picture look at the series and where the Blues are in the playoffs right now.
So. Well, look, here's how we handle that. We just keep coming back until they start winning.
Oh, I like that idea.
That's it. We just keep showing up, and we'll plug in the Comrex outside on the sidewalk, and we'll do the show from the top of that trash can out there until they start winning.
Oh, man, you're making some promises that are going to be hard to keep. So.
That's okay. That's my specialty.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we appreciate you having us in this morning.
Thanks,
guys. And helping expose St. Louis fans and St. Louis hockey fans to Tim Hortons this morning. So
I welcome everybody to come in and join us this
morning. Yeah, absolutely. All right, terrific. So,
Dana, thank you so much.
Yeah, so we should probably hit the other playoff series real quick. So as we mentioned, the one series between Anaheim and Calgary is – it's already over. Man, it seems like it just started yesterday.
Poor Brian Elliott. He gets to go fishing now, though.
Yeah, and practice moose calls. Well, I guess it wasn't him that did the moose calls. It was the family friend. But still, he could not be happy getting pulled. I'm pulling up the statistics. I heard it was 5 minutes in. We'll double-check how much time on ice.
The Ducks scored twice in the first 5 minutes. I mean, it would be after the Thompson goal.
His time on ice was 5 minutes, 38 seconds. So.
And then Ocho Cinco, the goalie, comes in to finish it out.
Yeah, so Chad Johnson. Not a good look for Brian Johnson, or I'm sorry, you mentioned Johnson, I'm thinking that, Brian Elliott's career. So Patrick Eaves, Nate Thompson scoring the first 5:38. Sean Monahan tried to get the Flames back in it with a second period goal. Then big old Ryan Getzlaf finishes it off. It looks like an empty net goal in 1953. Man, that's just rubbing salt in the wound. Score with 7 seconds left in a series. When you already have a lead?
Yeah, maybe curl back a little bit. No,
that's kind of a Richard move.
You got to do what you got to do. You pat it. There's, you know,
that's a Richard
move. No room for feelings in the playoffs.
Yeah, but you got to play those guys next year, and that's just rough.
Yeah, but if you're Anaheim, what are you worried about? Calgary can't beat them ever.
Especially in Anaheim, yeah. Right? That's fair, but still, I mean, you don't need to do that.
There's no downside.
I wonder if the handshake line was interesting after that. That's crazy. So that was the first series. Then I think the one that pretty much the whole entire hockey world was watching last night was Washington at Toronto. And I think Washington wanted to make that a statement game. The way they came out, they had, I think a 4-1 lead in the first – 4-2, 4-1 lead in the first period?
4-1, it was a 4-1 lead, yes, in the first.
TJ Oshie, Alexander Ovechkin. Then Toronto comes back, Zach Hyman. Then Tom Wilson and Tom Wilson score. So four first period goals for the Capitals, and they still made it a game.
Yeah, we'll talk about this with Katie Brown here in about 20 minutes or so. I think that is, in as much as a win can be bad, that's a bad win for the Capitals because they fire up to that 4-1 lead, and you really want to, you know, if you're Washington, you want to make a statement that says that we're in control of this series, and we're gonna you know, we'll put the foot back on the neck there of the Leafs. And they let them crawl back in. I mean, that's not great.
The interesting part of that is they just kept plugging away, and the crowd was electric last night in the Air Canada Center.
Yep.
And even going down 4-1, where you'd think they'd be demoralized, gosh, they really, really kept the Leafs in that game. And you know, at the beginning of this series, I said, you know, maybe Toronto is so young that it's actually an asset to the Blues. The assets of the Leafs in that they don't, you know, they haven't been through this before. They don't, you know, here's what happened last year with the Chicago Cubs. The whole curse, and we're being delivered food right now to the table. That is amazing.
It looks like a couple donuts and some Timbits. Is that what that strawberry cream cheese muffin?
Yeah.
We're going to dig into that here in just one
fantastic.
Second.
We
will have to chew quietly on the air. So I think, you know, with the Cubs, you know,
and
they were
a warm Timbit too.
Oh, okay. I'm going to talk and then you talk. Okay. So I'll talk for one second. So Chicago Cubs last year playoffs, they get to the World Series and everybody says, you know what? They have to overcome that culture of losing and the curse and all of the expectations and frustration of the franchise over more than 100 years. And when you got down to it, when you talk to the players like Anthony Rizzo, they'd say, you know what? I've only been here a couple years. I don't know any of that stuff. I didn't live through any of that stuff. I didn't experience that stuff. So when you say that the Maple Leafs fans are some of the most tortured in the NHL, and they've gone the longest without winning the Stanley Cup, those 12, 15, however dozen many rookies they have on the Leafs, they don't know any of that stuff. Sure, they've heard the story, but they haven't lived it. They haven't experienced it. This is all brand new to them.
It is really interesting to see the way that develops. And you know, another player, Connor McDavid, who is almost certainly going to be, as Brad eats a warm Timbit and collapses in joy next to me, Connor McDavid, who is going to be the MVP of the league this year, was the other night, was quoted after the Oilers lost 7-0 to the Sharks, and he said, I'm pretty sure you don't get two games for winning 7-0. It's just a game, right? And so that's the kind of attitude that you want to see out of a player like that you want to see out of your leadership and out of your young guys who, you know, who don't know how to lose yet, and that's what you're getting with the Leafs right now.
No, I think the joke there is, well, just give them a little more time, and the Maple Leafs will teach them how to lose.
Right, which is probably fair.
But Mike Babcock, I mean,
right, Mike Babcock is not a guy who teaches losing for the most part.
Absolutely, and there's, you know, he probably is going to be either first or second in the voting for Jack Adams for Coach of the Year.
Yes, almost certainly. Text from Catfish this morning saying, do I think the Blues are in trouble or on notice? No. Do I think they're going to struggle to put them away if they keep playing passively, hoping Allen plays lights out every night? Absolutely. They need to skate, boys, skate. and he's not wrong. Look, that was a large part of the problem last night. You know, we talk about the icings. We talk about the Edmondson and Parayko pairing having three in their first shift on the ice. Part of that is from not skating. It's from not skating into the outlet passes and from not creating opportunities. For example, our buddy Abe Froman has texted in a couple of times about this, about the frequency with which the Blues defense sagged back at the line last night. That was a problem as well. They were playing not to lose at the outset of that game last night rather than playing to win. And I think that, you know, they really need, obviously, to radically reorient that attitude. Because if you go in, and by the way, Saturday's game was a 2 o'clock game. The Blues announced that last night. The email came out from Blues PR. 2 p.m. Saturday, so we get the matinee on Saturday.
So that means I'm left to hope that youth soccer gets rained out in St. Charles County, for me personally.
Well, you can do the old Crash Davis.
How am I going to create a natural disaster at a soccer field in a,
same
in a,
way
in
he
a public
did.
Park?
Just go grab it. Well, it's in a public park. That's easier. Just go grab the sprinkler. Look, I'm sure we have a listener somewhere that's got certainly there are Blues fans with big 4x4 trucks. Go burn some donuts out there on that soccer field and get you free.
Speaking of donuts, you should check out the Game Time Twitter, at STListGameTime. Just posted a picture of what was delivered to our table. There are a few Timbits missing from when it was delivered, but you can still see the warm goodness that was delivered here. Stop on by 1300 Lafayette Avenue. There are 6 locations, including inside Scott Trade Center, upper and lower levels. I know the upper level is just outside 305, 306.
Yeah.
A place where we kind of hang out between periods at Blues games.
Yeah.
So,
and the lower is right near the Sugar Fire stand right there outside of 123 where I was sitting last night.
Tremendous. So, you know, I think that – so the series is tied 2-2 now, Capitals, Leafs. The thought I put on Twitter near the end of that game was if the Capitals really have to score 5 goals to win a playoff game, that might not be the best recipe for long-term playoff success.
It might not be. However, and I saw this stat last night on Twitter, and I did not know that it was true, but I looked it up and verified. Can you name the goaltender with the highest save percentage career in the Stanley Cup playoffs?
Currently?
Active of all time.
Who is it?
Braden Holtby.
Really?
The Capitals, with their lack of... As I ask you questions, I feel bad as I'm making... As you eat
a
donut.
You saw
me
chew.
Sorry, I screwed that up. That was a bad time for trivia. Braden Holtby, highest career save percentage in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and the Capitals can't get out of a series. So what that tells me is that goal scoring has not been the problem for the Capitals in the past, and the question is only, can they get the goal scoring up? So yes, having to score 5 to win is not optimal. If they can score 5 on the road and win games, that does at least highlight some possibilities of good things happening.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think everybody will be watching that. And then finally, the other game last night, the boring old Ottawa Senators and Boston Bruins. Everyone's hoping for a showdown with Boston and Montreal in the second round. And the Senators are trying to ruin that party.
Yeah.
1-0 victory last night at Boston. 1-0 victory for Ottawa last night at Boston. Not a lot of scoring. Our friend Greg Wyshynski on Puck Daddy on Yahoo Sports last week said that Ottawa's maybe one of the most easily the most boring team in the playoffs, maybe one of the most boring teams in the entire National Hockey League. Bruins got 22 shots on net, getting shut out.
And professional albatross Bobby Ryan has his 3rd goal of the series in 4 games.
That's 2 game winners, by the way.
Yeah. Eric Karlsson puts up his 5th assist already, and as boring as the Senators may be, Eric Karlsson is anything but.
And it was 5:40 into the third period.
Right.
So there were 25 and a half minutes played. I'm sorry, 45 and a half minutes played before they got to their first goal in that game.
Yeah,
that's brutal.
You know, a lot of friends of Game Time also happen to be Bruins fans.
Yeah,
a couple of Sarahs, as well as a few other folks who are good friends.
Sarah, who actually lives in Boston.
Yes, and then Sarah, who I think went to school in Boston.
Yeah,
and so there are at least a couple connections there. But. So we hear, I guess, a lot about the Bruins, and we do feel bad for them a little bit. I don't know. I'm a Caps guy, so I don't really care that much about the Bruins. But I will say that it is interesting to watch Ottawa just shut them down, because Ottawa was among the worst teams that I saw play in person this year. Granted, you know, they didn't play a particularly strong game, and they played a goaltender who they threw on waivers immediately after the game. Not the greatest showing from the Hamburglar in that 6-1 Blues win up in Ottawa, but it is pretty remarkable to see them taking a commanding lead in that playoff series.
Yeah, so and you know, on the road at Boston, that's a huge win for the Senators. So I think Boston's in big trouble. So
yeah,
we'll see if they can get their act together to face Montreal. Of course, Montreal needs to pull up their end of the bargain. They are tied 2-2 in their series with the New York Rangers. I believe the next game is tonight. Yeah. at Montreal, 6 p.m. start. It's on USA Network here in the States.
We talked about this when the playoffs started. The NBC brand is using that USA Network for hockey now. They've been using it for Olympic hockey, but never for the NHL. So
we've got some guests here in the second half of the show. We'll be joined by
Katie Brown from NHL.com.
I almost said Baker because we're at Tim Hortons. Katie Brown. And then at 6:25, we expect Angela Sharp. She might be actually here in person. So if you're in the neighborhood, if you're passing by, if you're driving into downtown, you live in downtown and you're out and about early this morning, maybe you get to stop by and meet Angela Sharp, hopefully.
She might dial in.
We'll
if we have donuts and Angela, there's going to be a line around the building.
Totally. Yeah. So I think we probably need to get to one of our signature segments.
Okay.
So, Matt Davis, if you could please pull up the music for the Bad Blues Lounge Post of the Day.
You will never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
And I got to give credit to Matt Davis because he did not know we were going to that. So in the amount of time that I said we're going to go to one of our signature segments, he pulled up the music and had it ready on.
This guy right here is a radio pro.
And he's making sure we're on the air as we're live here from Tim Hortons at Lafayette Square. All right, I've got one. Pull up. You said you had some spies.
I had a couple.
Stuff out. All right, so I'm going to pull up mine first. So Adam says he just got kicked out of a playoff game at Scott Trade for flipping off the ice. And Usher in 305 thought he was flipping the bird to him. Are you kidding me?
I mean, don't flip the bird at hockey games, you Hoosier.
I'll get to that. So we have some comments here that follow and says, the Usher seemed on edge tonight. And someone else, Josh, says, they threw out some Wild fans next to me just for standing up and cheering while Blues fans were cussing them out. She threatened to throw me out because I said it was wrong. And then Mike answers the obvious question, why did you give the ice the bird? I mean, is it the ice's fault? It did feel tilted. Like, they may have poured it wrong, and it was tilted towards the Blues' end because they were in the end a lot last night.
Just stop it. Just don't do that.
So I don't really understand why you would flip the bird to the ice. So
yeah, I don't. It doesn't make.
Just maybe a Blues Lounge member frustrated. He can't get on. Maybe he couldn't get on Facebook, and he couldn't vent on Facebook, so he had to vent his frustration some other way.
So Brent, friend of the show, tweeted a couple. One to me, and one to our buddy Art Lippo, a gentleman named Ben, who has a lovely selfie with him and some significant. Very cute there at a Cardinals game. They're quite an attractive couple.
Okay.
The tweet says, Tarasenko showing why he's the best player on the Blues, silent, not scoring, and turning over the puck when games matters most. I'm not too keen on him. Y'all know that that's a reason why. He did not play a great game last night. We have said that he has, been struggling a little bit, and he... Again, my favorite phrase lately has been ebb and flow. His game does have ebbs and flows, where when he gets down into a little bit, you see him passing up some shots. That's hard to deny. But to say that you're not keen on him and that he turns the puck over when the games matter most is a pretty poor understanding of watching hockey games. And as well, Brett followed up here, a guy named Jerry who... You know, this selfie with Jerry and his dog is probably a more attractive selfie, honestly, than the other one.
He posted that from East Prairie, Missouri.
Where is East Prairie, Missouri?
It has to be down south.
I would assume. I wonder when Tarasenko was going to start playing. You know, it's funny.
You know,
the thing that I think is happening here is the Hoosiers can't even bring themselves to criticize Jake Allen at this point. Like, they badly want to criticize the goalie, but they can't, and so they have to turn toward the next most obvious target, which is the team's best player.
The guy who makes the most or nearly the most money on the team.
Yeah, so...
Earn that contract, Tarasenko.
Right, what are you doing? You know, whatever.
You know, it's frustrating. They still have a 3-1 lead, and you know, the bottom line is, I think we covered this yesterday or maybe even the day before, there have only been three times where a team has come back from a 3-0 deficit and win, and one of them was like in 1947, 45, something like that.
Yeah, and the other one was in the 70s.
Black and white television. One was in the 70s, and then as we were talking last night at the dinner table at my house, the LA Kings, who are kind of like the exception that proves every rule when it comes to playoffs. You know,
right?
No team has ever won the Stanley Cup as an eighth seed until the Kings do it, and they do it twice. So every time a team finishes in eighth, like, wow, the Kings can do it twice. Our team can do it. No, probably not. And if the Kings can come back from a 3-0 deficit, maybe we can. Well, probably not. It's only been on three times ever.
As we head into break here, however, as we go into the break for the 6 o'clock hour, we should point out that our fearless leader, Mr. Timothy Michael McKernan, posted in the TMA fan page last night. Since 2013, the Blues are 0-7 in games 4 and 5, play at the Scott Trade Center, and have been outscored 26-12 in the 7 losses.
Now, most of those have been game 5s.
Have been game 5s, right.
Where the Blues had home ice advantage, they have a chance to really take control of a series and then stumble in that game 5. You know, be it a Jonathan Toews overtime breakaway winner or a soft goal on Jake Allen that basically shakes his confidence against Minnesota. I don't remember what the Kings did. I know the Kings beat them in that first-round series. And
it was so many demoralizing losses.
Yeah,
ago
they all kind of run together at some
they
point.
They do run together.
And that was more than that was, you know, a few years ago. So, yeah, I say the team that gets to 3 wins, whenever you get to 3 wins, and even if it's like 3-2, a tied 2-2, and you get to that third win, you really take control of a series. And the team that gets the 3 wins first wins the majority of times for a reason.
I did see a stat yesterday that said that when teams are up 3-0 and then playing game 4 at home, they do win around 70% of the time. So yesterday put the Blues in that 30%. But look, they have they've given themselves literally the most slack possible to finish off this series. And I was talking to folks last night, and if they get through this round, for me, everything else is playing with house money. So let's lock down one more win.
The way the season started, kind of up and down, up and down. They lose some players in free agency. They trade Ryan Elliott away. They end up having to fire the head coach in January. You know, the way things worked out, you know, there was a time. This is funny. I have been meaning to mention this. So we have the game time paper that we sell outside every Blues home game. The first game after the trade deadline, the headline on the paper that day said, "Goodbye playoffs?" question mark. And here they are with a 3-1 lead in the playoffs. So,
you know, in retrospect, rather than the old Minnesota Mild headline, it should have been "Hello playoffs!" exclamation point.
Hello playoffs. Oh, that would have been the perfect bookend.
Yeah, it's okay.
Maybe we'll do "Hello second
round." Everyone's a critic.
Yeah, everyone is a critic. All right, we need to take a break, so start playing that music, Matt Davis. And we'll tell you again where we are. We're at Tim Hortons at 1300 Lafayette Avenue, Lafayette Square here near downtown, just down the street actually from Scott Trade Center. Come and join us. Say hi. The sun's starting to come up. Come back for the second hour of Game Time AM here on 590 The Fan, KFNS St. Louis. She was wearing a hammer. Price you gotta pay when you break the panorama. She never knew that there was any.